University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why in the past deck industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Return hours of work in minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, and it's a little late, I guess, to do any musical tribute, but I just see that Loretta Lynn has passed away at 90. Wow. I like Loretta Lynn. Andy Serling, good morning.
Morning, Steve. How you doing?
All right. It's been a hectic morning, actually. I'm trying to slow the pace down.
Loretta Lynn news must have really thrown you off there.
It has. It absolutely has. Wow. That, you know what though? Let's talk movies for a second, because that was a terrific picture, right? Coal Miner's Daughter.
I just don't know what to say. I'm just getting over LeVon, probably a few years ago, and now he played her father.
Yeah.
Do you remember the one
that
helped play the father?
There's
got to be something more interesting about this.
Well, no, that's it. Right, I'm glad you're
morning out of Loretta Lynn dying.
Well, no, because I'm off tomorrow we're off for the holiday. And Happy New Year.
That news probably rattled the entire race. Got a lot of people wondering how they're going to spend those 3 hours tomorrow.
They will be.
Prime doesn't go off in the country because people
because idle hands, idle race fans running around, running wild, doing some wilding.
That's a whole serious problem.
They will be treated to a best of at the races.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, we'll come up with something. But no, because I kind of moved some things around. A little bit, and who could possibly replace you?
Nobody even could try.
We've been absorbing the weekend, and obviously, you know, these two weekends, Andy, and we can focus on New York. Produces any number of Breeders' Cup challengers, and the most intriguing storyline continues to be Life Is Good coming out of the weekend, and you know what potential impact he can have on Flightline's short price try in the Classic.
I think there's a it's funny. there's a mass misunderstanding, I think, not surprisingly, by the sort of Twitter glitterati that life is good with running a mile. You know, it's just a complete sort of misunderstanding of horse racing and placement of horses, you know. It's like these people say, ooh, I'd love to see him on the turf, you know, and not understanding how that devalues them. Male runners that are looking for stallion deals. But he's not running in the dirt mile. He's going to retire before he runs the dirt mile. He's not going to wave the white flag and say, oh, he can't beat flight line. That's worse than running his flight line and running fourth. That's a complete admission of a lack of talent, which there's no reason they should do. You know, whether or not they ultimately end up running another race, we'll see. I certainly hope so. And they've indicated they want to run the Breeders' Cup Classic. But, you know, it's hard to know for sure. I mean, it's hard to know for sure what they're really going to do. I hope he does run in the Breeders' Cup Classic. First of all, he belongs in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And the Breeders' Cup has sort of shot itself in the foot in the past because of the existence of the Dirt Mile. And when horses like Liam's Map ran that race instead of running the Classic, it showed how much the mile has hurt. I understand why Connections did it. I thought it was unfortunate, but listen, it's their horse. They can do what they want. But I don't think winning the Breeders' Cup Mile did anything to enhance Liam's Map reputation. It was just winning a Breeders' Cup race and getting a few dollars. It didn't make him a more valuable stallion. He still had to prove it as a stallion. I think his loss in the Whitney probably did more to increase his value as a stallion than his win the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The Breeders' Cup's goal is to make money. It's not to create a championship race to make money. That's why they run races like the Breeders' Cup Mile. It's not a championship division, and it's hurt the sprint and it's hurt the classic over the years. Regardless of all that, Life's Good's not running. And whether or not they ultimately decide to take on Flightline, I hope they do. And Flightline, obviously, is this enormously talented horse. But, you know, there's that unfortunate knee-jerk reaction by some people on the West Coast, the same people that cry about East Coast biases that don't exist, to overvalue horses because they run on their racetracks. And we've seen this before. And then get petty about it and relating to other horses and, you know, pointing fingers at other people. But Flightline is a very, very good horse. But a horse like Life is Good, even if he doesn't beat him, presents a challenge for him because he's a very fast horse who has the stamina to stick around for a while. And it's one thing to be a horse like Flightline and stalk a horse early, fast paced, and has no talent to fight you past the half mile pole. It's another to deal with a horse that can fight you into the stretch. And then when you have horses like Taba and Epicenter behind them, who are improving three-year-olds, and while they're clearly not as good as Flightline, they're not so far away that with some improvement and a much tougher race for Flightline, dealing with a Life is Good and theoretically being able to beat that horse, it presents the possibility that things get a little bit different in the stretch. I don't think that there's any sane person that thinks American Pharoah would have run the same race he ran the Breeders' Cup Classic had Beholder and Liam's Map, particularly Liam's Map, been in the race. He may well have won, but his performance was very much based on the fact that it was a public workout, his last career start. He received no challenge whatsoever early, and those kind of situations that horses like that can run their greatest races, very similar to Flightline's in a Classic, and in no way am I downplaying the talent that Flightline has. He's clearly a supremely talented horse. Without a question, the most talented horse we've seen since Ghost Zapper. You know, you could say that Arrogate's best races would have given him a chance to get Flightline. But other than that, his sort of brief flash, but Flightline's very, very good. How good he is, we'll find out much more if, in fact, his classic involves Life is Good and those three-year-olds, and it's running a race where he's really going to have to earn it. And I'm not denying how talented he is, but I think that people get misconceptions when they see these blowout performances against inferior competition. It's exciting.
And obviously,
the class was great. I mean, it was a great performance, but great performances don't necessarily mean a great horse. He has done great things at the racetrack. He's also won five times. and never faced. Well, I mean, he faced a little bit of challenge. And his Matt Mile was terrific. You know, he got left, and at that point, Cedarsport was still very good. And, you know, he ran super that day. Not as fast as the other races, but it was a tremendous effort.
How akin is this scenario to what we were looking at with Nick's Go? And, you know, and obviously, you know, pace challenges are different.
Well, everybody was afraid to run with Nick's Go. Well, let me say something else. Nick's Go is the horse that's not shown the ability to rate. Flightline has.
Yeah.
Flightline has stalked other horses. So I think it's a different argument. Nick's Go is a one-way speed horse, and Nick's Go couldn't warm up Flightline. Just like he couldn't warm up Life Is Good. I think, you know, it's fair also Life Is Good. Obviously, that figure in the Woodward, you know, is not a number that makes him competitive with anybody, but I would take that performance with the same grain of salt that I take these sort of blowout, you know, big figure wins you sometimes see in wet tracks, where I have to imagine that the race and the track and things played a role in it coming up not as fast a race. I still think he's a very good horse. And I hope he runs the Classic, where he should be running. But I think if he doesn't run, it'll be because they retire. I don't think anybody's going, I was going to breed the Flightline. I mean, to Life Is Good. But he finished third or fourth in the Breeders' Cup Classic. I'm not reading to him anymore.
Yeah. I just had Sid riff on that a couple of minutes ago. Exactly.
I imagine he agrees.
Yes, it was a, yeah. Got lots to do. Let me ask you about to juxtapose the two-year-old races and Blazing Sevens and Chocolate Gelato.
I was surprised Chocolate Gelato wasn't the bigger favorite. she got it done. I was sorry. There was a horse that scratched. Though Chad Brown's horse scratched. They'd run well in her debut at Saratoga. I don't know what the story of that was. I thought Chocolate Gelato was impressive as any two-year-old we saw of summer in Saratoga she ever made. Her maiden was huge. And she ran fine this race. I don't know. Are there any good California two-year-old fillies?
No, that's been a quieter. That's interesting you bring that up. We'll see in the Chandelier, obviously, Saturday. But it does seem like that's been a quieter division than the boys.
Yeah, and obviously we'll see the Alcibiades Friday at Keeneland as well. They're trying Keeneland today on Friday.
Yes.
Is that Friday? They may move that. They move it Saturday or still Friday, right?
The Alcibiades is Friday, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember who won the Pocahontas at Churchill.
That was just last week, you mean, or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, whatever the hell it was, I don't remember. Sure, 3 weeks ago, Churchill moved to 2.5 weeks. It's the longest 13-day in history.
Right.
It was, she fell apart. Came to Peak Source one, right? She has a.
That's right. That's right.
Gelato, I mean, at this point, would have to consider the favorite, I think. I mean, she ran big figures. She handled the wet track. She was good. As far as Blazing Sevens, you know, he's got a good figure. He rebounded from his bad race in the Hopeful. It's hard to be overly excited about him. And the reality is that that horse of Baffert's, that Cave Rock, assuming he stretches out effectively in whatever horrible name they have for the two-year-old race out in California, he's going to be, I imagine, the favorite. He's been very impressive in his two races, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Narragate, he doesn't seem to be a horse that's supposed to have problems with distance, but you don't know until he goes. I assume he's running, right?
He sure is.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think at this point, you know, the horses are okay. I mean, one of the questions is, where is Forte? He was supposed to run in Champagne. They say they're going to run him Saturday. We'll see if he shows up in the Breeders' Futurity. But I think there has to be some questions about him at that point, you know, whether or not he goes, because he obviously has some talent, but Cave Run has to be considered. Cave Rocks is the favorite for that right now, based on what he's done in California. He's pretty good.
Todd's going to join us at 11:45, so we'll get an update on Forte then.
He can come on now if he wants, you know. I mean, I don't want to get in his way.
He's very specific with me. No, he's...
I am, but it doesn't work. Shouldn't take precedence over me, but I hope Forte's okay, and I hope he runs. He's a good horse, and he's also got the Raiders Lost Ark, or Lost Ark. At, I think he's definitely running in the fraternity. I know he won the Satellite. I don't know what figure he got. I remember breaking his maiden first time out. We'll see.
Shift from the dirt races to the two-year-old, and obviously, you know, there was plenty of give in the ground, but the Miss Grillo and the Pilgrim.
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to know exactly to make if this race was given the ground. On the other hand, certainly possible there's given the ground for the races at Keeneland.
Sure.
You know, the very adept ride by Igrad going to lead with Pleasant Passage, a horse that didn't figure anywhere near the lead, and a lot of times it's given the ground. You know, especially in a shorter field, didn't seem to be the same case in the Pilgrim the next day, but speed's very dangerous. And I think that she obviously ran a much improved race to win. And I know Free Look ran fine as well. She gave Free Look quite a nice bump coming in the stretch. I don't know why the stewards don't look at those things. I don't think she should have come down, but I certainly think they should have looked at it. And I think it'd be nice if I ran to stop doing things like that. But as long as he gets away with it, I can't blame him for doing it. They let him get away with it. You know, I would give a pass to be your get. What is Pete? What's the horse that ran third for the Mike Ryan horse for Rossi de Paz? Give me a lot of help here. Be your guest or something? Be your best or something?
Oh, be your best. Yeah, be your best was the big fancy.
She broke out in that race, sort of put her out of position. And in a race that was effectively a merry-go-round race on that kind of course, I would knock her for her performance there, and she's obviously a little bit better than that, so we'll see. So I think we'll probably see all those horses go to the Breeders' Cup. As far as the Pilgrim, listen, Todd's horse had pedigree to handle the turf and ran very well to it. Very game holding off the horse. The Chad Brown horse was a heavy, heavy favorite, Cloud Computing. But I imagine both of them will go. They ran fine. I don't know what big they got. Do you remember?
Yes, it was a 75. 70.
The Phillies, I think, were 75, right? I don't know. You probably put it on your message board, right?
Here it is. 78. Pleasant Passage, a 78. Major Dude, a 75.
Okay. So, okay, a little slower. It's still hard to make a lot of those figures in those races, right? You know?
True. That's true.
They only run one on each course, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard. You know, it's hard to know in those turf races. We see some other races. I know Keeneland moved the Jessamine up to this Friday.
Yes,
which is probably the right move instead of running on Wednesday. Give you more time. Sort of funny they did it year. They had the Breeders' Cup there. They probably should have been doing it for years. And also the Bourbon, I think, for the Colts. So we'll see what we get out of those.
Correct. Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. It's hard. You know, at this point, there's no. I haven't seen a definitive. Player in the turf division seems wide open for the two-year-old turf horse. They've run so few times. I think that horse that with Pink Hue that was impressed with Saratoga, she's not obviously not going to make the race. I don't believe she. You know, she was supposed to run in the Miss Grillo. So it feels like the horse could have been favored in there. But I guess the horse that she beat for Phil Bauer will be running in the Jessamine, I would assume. Starts with an X, right?
Oh, I know who you mean. Yep. One, Andy. One, us quick aside on that big field turf sprint group. Very nice Saturday for Michelle Nevin and Dancing Buck with a romping winner.
Manny's really been riding well, and one of the reasons he's been riding doing as well is he's been much more aggressive. And that horse broke very sharply, and once the horse went to lead like that, the race was effectively over. Yes and Yes was very unlucky in there. At the end, stumbled badly to start. He might have won the race, but. Yeah, I got a big figure, Dancing Buck, and he's really improved from Michelle. I don't know why she wouldn't be, you know, pointing to the Breeders' Cup turf sprint. I mean, why not? What better chance is she going to have? I'm not saying he'd win it, but it's not a horse that needs the lead. He's shown he can handle some given the ground. It's a good on firm turf, and who the heck is so good out there? You really think that Golden Pal looks great off his last race? He's going to run the dirt this weekend, right? If they're trying to help his stallion value by running on the dirt in Phoenix, I think, right?
In the Phoenix.
Maybe he'll be great in the dirt. There's that horse that Linda Rice claimed from him that won Saturday with a huge figure that Wesley ran the dirt once, finished second, then spent the rest of his career in the turf. And was a claimer. which is amazing, right? Long. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I understand why. I think it's Coolmore. Does Coolmore have his rights? Is that who it is? I understand why you would want him to try the Phoenix. Who knows? Maybe he'll run huge in the dirt. He can run the dirt sprint. Doesn't seem likely, exactly. But doesn't seem impossible. Didn't he run in the dirt to start his career? Let's take a look. Actually, I can look right now. It's hard to find amidst all the dross of.
Well,
maybe it's next weekend. Is it next weekend?
No, the Phoenix, I think. No, the Phoenix is Friday.
Phoenix is Friday. Oh, they'll draw it today. Oh, that's why the PPs aren't up on the. Up on their.
Oh, you mean the whatchamacallit? It's Yeah. Here it is. I got it here anyway. At Gulfstream, he ran as a maiden, and
you had dangerous in the dirt at Gulfstream.
He ran 4.5. Yep, he ran one of those April races. He got beat. He got beat. At 1-2.
Well, so did Orson this weekend. Oh, okay.
He got beat by Gatsby.
By who?
Gatsby.
Well, at least he was an important literary figure.
An Arundel homebred.
You're going to lose. Then, it's always important to lose to a historical literary figure.
That is quite a pair of first starts, in fact, because then he was second. Not only was he second in a 4.5 furlong dirt race in April, he was second in the Norfolk, of course, in his second start. I went off to ask it. Yeah. What an interesting career he's had, actually. And boy, you know, the opportunity to be a Breeders' Cup winner 3 straight years.
Yeah. How many times has he run?
So far, 10, I think. 11.
Okay. So it looks like he'll have 13 starts in his career. Yeah.
And, you know, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Lady Shipman, wasn't she second in her Keeneland try in the Breeders' Cup? Was that
possible.
The Mongolian Saturday, I think? Upset her.
Possible. I have no memory of that, but possible.
Yeah.
My memory of the Breeders' Cup turf sprint is probably pretty minimal. Hey, I don't think I've ever picked the winner. I made money at once. 2011. I like the horse was second. Is that Country Day?
Oh, wow. Wow.
That horse was second at a huge price.
Look at you for Margolis and the Clines.
Yeah. Steve Asperson won it, right?
Was it Asperson, or was that would that have been Brett Calhoun, Chamberlain Bridge?
That I won?
No, I don't know. I'm just guessing around that period. And I'm right. Mongolian Saturday. It was the Mongolian Saturday upset of Lady Shipman in the.
It's hard to keep track of all these championship races.
As it happens, I it's so funny, Eddie, because I've come to really enjoy the turf sprint, and you made an interesting point yesterday on doing some tweeting in reference to Speedboat Beach that we talked about yesterday with Jim Pegram, and you know that basically they're splitting the baby and circling the wagons, the Pegram and Baffert.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I think that if they really strongly felt that he could get a distance, they would have gone. Can they run a Keeneland? Bob can run a Keeneland, right?
Yeah.
Then they probably would have thought about trying the Breeders' Futurity. I kind of wonder a little bit that Speedboat. What's this? Full Speedboat. What's this?
Speedboat Beach.
Speedboat Beach. I kind of wonder a little if Bob could run in New York if they would have gotten the Champagne. Because he has gone to Champagne quite a bit throughout his career. And maybe they felt, you know, without a one-turn mile, they didn't want to stretch to 2-turn second time out. And I'm sure they also own Cave Rock. Is that true?
Correct.
I'm sure that makes it easier for them. On the other hand, if they felt he was Cave Rock the second, they would have run the two of them, pointed the two of them to the race. It's never bad to have two in the race, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Bob has never been one to try and spending his career worrying about keeping horses undefeated. But I guess they probably figured distance limitations, and given the presence of the other one, no reason to push the envelope. Now, he's not winning the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. Such a mouthful, isn't it? Just rolls off the tongue. With a 75 buyer, and as was correctly pointed out, Phil Schellenthal was talking about it on Twitter, on a very firm course out there, going to a much different course. Now, who knows? Maybe he'll like a different turf course. But in general, that kind of horse, I don't know. I mean, I guess they'll go to the race. Why not? But how confident can you be with a horse that ran that much worse on the turf than dirt? And if you look at the field that he ran against before people get all excited about it, he beat a very, very weak field. So he's clearly a much better dirt horse. So maybe Bob will try that race, and just because in the connections, because they figure there's nowhere else really to run. But you wonder if he's a horse that's just better suited to staying on the dirt the rest of his career. And
well,
there's the Breeders' Cup race for him.
Well, they also have, well, because they've also got, and this is not just Baffert has, but Pegram has also got the runner-up from the race with Cave Rock having a meltdown, and they've got a horse that just won a stake last week at won the Capote as well, that I think is, that he yesterday Mike told us Hard to Figure is a candidate as well.
Capote has a race. Wait, I want to get back to this. Capote has a race name for him?
Yeah.
Is it restricted to giraffes? Remember Capote?
I do remember. I mean, I wouldn't have associated him as being
a big leggy thing. He was funny. I mean, he won the Breeders' Cup against the two Juvenile races, the incredible field, though the track was very kind of speed, and he was controlling speed. And he never ran he never did anything the rest of his life. I don't think he ever went on a race, did he? He's like Tasso the second.
I just remember his career being brief. I don't remember.
He ran a lot of day. I think he ran a bunch of times as a 3-year old. I'm gonna have to look this guy up. I don't think Capote ever won on the race.
He did not. The Breeders. No, that juvenile was his last win. He ran in the Gotham
in the
Wood.
I know he was in the Gotham. Was he on Gone West? Was he beyond Gone West? Or was he in the other division? I think he lost the Gotham to Gone West.
That I cannot tell you.
He
but
was 3-year old, 3 for 3 as a 2-year old, and 0 for 7 as a 3-year old. No, I'm sorry, 3 for 4. He lost his debut. Excuse me. The Gotham in '87. I know that was the day. That was. Yeah. He didn't finish the Derby. He did finish third in Allowance to Saratoga. It was the only time he hit the board as a.
As a 3-year old.
I don't think Tasso ever won again either. Back to back Breeders' Cup Juvenile winners that never won a race after they're incorrect about Tasso. He won a couple of allowance races. Now, he ran a lot. Wow. He actually won an allowance at Aqueduct, a small overnight stake. Then he finished second in the Gotham, fourth in the Wood, second in the Withers, third in the Jersey Derby. He won the El Cajon Stakes at Del Mar, closing day, it looks like, closing week. He won an allowance at Santa Hollywood. He ran as a 4-year-old. He won another allowance as a 4-year-old. He was second in Hollywood Gold Cup. So he did not win a graded stakes, but he won like 4 races, so I was wrong.
You mentioned that juvenile in '86, and what one interesting aspect is that Barrera was second with Qualify at 21-1. Ali Sheba was 33-1.
Yeah,
was
well,
third.
He was still a maid. He was still a maid, right? I think he was still a maid.
Huh.
Bet Twice was fourth.
Gulch was fifth. Yeah. Demons Begone. Polish
Begone.
Navy.
Polish Navy, right? He won the Woodward the next year.
Yep.
Crypto was, no, Crypto was the next year. No, Crypto was that group, but I don't think he was in there.
He didn't run.
Oh, wait. Crypto was in the Travers against, he was second in the Travers, I think. Wasn't Crypto in the Java Gold class? Yeah, Java Gold did not run, right? He was not in that. Juvenile. I don't think Mac Miller ever really ran a Breeders' Cup. I think he ever really shifted.
It's very cold. That was the first.
I went to the one at Santa Anita.
I went to the my first one, and first Santa Anita was 94, which was great.
It was 93. It was 93. 94 is a Churchill.
93. There you go. I'm sorry. 93.
Yeah, I went to that one, and I didn't go back to California for 20 years. I got buried.
I just had a vision of you in California. Didn't you call me once about you had to drive somewhere when you were out there last time at some point?
Oh, I had to drive. Yeah, I stopped doing that for a while.
Traffic, well, yes.
I haven't been there in a while. I haven't been there since 15, since I was doing those shows in that Jockey Club on Fox series.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't think I've been since then.
The forerunner of
no, no. I went to Del Mar. I went to Del Mar at the end of 16 for the Hollywood Derby.
Cool. Let me, Andy. Let me slip in before we go. Carryover on Thursday, and I was shocked when I looked up and I saw that two horse that the favorite wasn't covered in on Sunday.
Oh, I wasn't paying much attention Sunday, to be honest. It was probably some tough results. Yeah, I'm concerned that we could be off the turf quite a bit on Thursday because it's just continuing to rain. I think the rain is tapering off, though, today, but it's been a lot of rain. So I wouldn't be. I'm a little concerned, especially about Thursday.
Well, that's too bad because it's a nice. This is a nice card.
I know it is, but that's life.
Hey, all right.
It's supposed to rain again tomorrow, so it's supposed to be nice for the rest of the week. But I would not be optimistic about turf on Monday. I can't be that for turf. But, I mean, it's hard to. Jesus, this weather is crazy.
All right. Well, then we will just sort of.
I can talk about it for a second if you want. I can finally.
You know what? Go ahead. Because Tom will join us in 5 minutes.
Don't be late to talk.
We won't.
I'll hang up. Make sure you are. yeah, and the second race. Well, we want to pick six races, right? Okay.
Yeah, start with the non-winners.
So the fourth race is a hard, very hard race in the turf. To start it, if the 13 gets in, it gets much easier. Otherwise, it's anyone's guess. I think Rosemary Potatoes if she doesn't get in, but it's an open race on the dirt. The 16 will be a big favorite, I imagine, on the dirt. Quality Jazz isn't that good. I don't think it was favorite. I thought Our Jessica was dangerous in the dirt. I think I figured like 9, 16, 14 on the dirt or something like that. It's not much of a dirt race. I mean, I think that Chase Dream, well, I assume, will be favored. The fifth will be the horse to beat. The sixth race is a crazy race in the turf. Crazy race. I like Uncle George, but it's wide open. I picked Blind. I mean, that Sheriff Bianco, the horse that West didn't run in the dirt, they ran the huge numbers back up. It re-entered, having just run on Saturday. Now, whether or not Linda would run the horse back on 5 days, I don't know. She does, obviously, horse is tough to beat. Imagine horse price crashed. But Blinding Light is very dangerous. The three on the turf and dirt, very much the dirt. Fast and Furious, obviously, can win the dirt. I think Digital Future even could win on as well. Sugar Gray Leonard, potential dirt horses, the MTOs. There's no MTOs. The seventh race, I like Battle Scars in the turf over Citizen K and Marinara Sauce. But Street Czar will be a heavy favorite. There's much going on. This race goes to dirt. I think it's 197. But Street Czar, I imagine, will be a pretty big favorite in dirt. The eighth is wide open. I prefer Movie Moxie over Mosianko and Secret Love and Patty H. I would be betting against Bank on Anna. And the last race, I mean, Mr. Connecticut's actually supposed to win. I felt Palm Sunday's dangerous in the turf, and on the dirt, I need to make picks because there isn't a single horse in the race that can run a step on the dirt, so who knows will stay in. So I wouldn't make picks with myself on scratches.
The Terra Nova outside is okay on the dirt, isn't he, Central Pride?
No, nobody's... Oh, he can't... Oh, the other thing is, I'm sorry, all of the also MPOs are entered against Pride, so they can't run. Because in a rule that I would agree with, now if you're an MTO on a given date, you still have to scratch if the race was on the turf if you're entered the next day. And all of those horses are entered in the maiden race. They'll all have to scratch. And there's a reason. There was something funny about it, right?
Oy.
So every one of these horses.
Well, it is important that Mr. Connecticut get that maiden breaker.
It is also important that you call Todd Fletcher. So it's been really
Todd
exciting.
Fletcher joins us next. Andy Serling, everybody, with a fabulous visit. Thank you, Andy. There it is, Andy Serling. All right, Todd, we'll reach for Todd here and close out the morning with T.A. Todd Aaron. It is Aaron, right? Let me see that. Is Todd's middle name's got to be Aaron, right? It's got to be Todd Aaron. What else would it be? I don't know why I ever... Let me sit here. Yeah. Is it? I don't see an actual reference to what the A... It's got to be Aaron. Todd Fletcher with a vintage Todd Fletcher weekend between Major Dude's win in the Pilgrim and of course Life is Good. I mean, you know, what can you say? And chocolate gelato. That was a nice step forward. And there were some others. Do I have time to go dig through that pile of? I have a pile of maiden special wins, and you know, because you always expect that you're going to need to go back and look at those. And there was a couple from Todd. In the last 2 weeks and there was one in particular that I wanted to be prepared to ask him about that came at I thought it came at Churchill and because I mentioned this the other morning, didn't I? I'm losing track. There it is. Gate Runner was the Churchill winner from about 10 days ago. Todd Fletcher joins us on the heels of Life is Good, winning the Woodward, as well as the two-year-old successes of Frisette, added to the long Hall of Fame roster, and a Pilgrim as well. And Todd, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Wait, do you get tired of being congratulated, I guess?
Absolutely not. No, that's, that's something you never grows old.
I love it. You really could answer the same question to some degree that we ask of John Sadler with Flightline. When you have a horse like this, Life is Good. Yeah, this is a horse that, I mean, every time they go out and work seriously and run, probably every morning when you come in and take the bandages off, you know, you hold your breath. Talk about getting to this juncture and what lies ahead.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, you worry about them all and you just hope that everything goes smoothly and we've been fortunate. The horse has been physically super healthy, and I mean, he literally trains well every day. But you know, it puts races like the Woodward on Saturday in a small field and a 1-9 favorite. You can't always enjoy those the same as some other ones. So we were happy to get the job done, and you know, especially over a sloppy track that he had never run over before, and a lot of variables that he hadn't encountered, and we were just hoping that everything went the right way, and I think it did. I think it was kind of the perfect prep race we were looking for. We got a good effort out of it, but I think we were able to keep a little something in the tank for the big day.
Do you do anything different moving toward the mile and a quarter try?
Well, he's such a brilliant training horse that he's the type that will overachieve in the mornings if you allow him to. Because of that, you know, we're confident we can have him ready to run with the 5 weeks in between races, and you know, we'll have a couple of good works at Keeneland, probably 3 works total, and you know, probably the middle work will be the most significant one. And you know, the one thing he's always indicated to us, and you could see it even after the wire in the Woodward the other day, he was still full of run after the finish line. He certainly trains like a horse that can get a mile and a quarter, and I don't think that the Dubai World Cup was an indicator to me that he won't, because the track was just, it was way, way too deep, and when those type of horses run that slowly, it just tells you what we were dealing with that night, and it just unfortunately played against him. But you know, this might be, we haven't seen any races at Keeneland this fall yet, they haven't started racing yet and won't until Friday, but I have to think that this might be an opportunity for him to get on the most glib track that he's seen in quite a while. So you know, probably back to the Pegasus, because we certainly didn't get that in Dubai. The beginning of Saratoga, we were dealing with a very deep track, and it sort of rained, and the track was sealed for a few races, and then Harrowed right before the Whitney, and then, you know, Aqueduct has been off. It's been a pretty slow, demanding track since it opened, so probably going to get on a racetrack that he's going to appreciate a little more than what he's been running on, or maybe a better way to say it is a track that's going to play to his strengths a little more than the ones that he's been running on.
No, that's a fair point. And you know, speed is deadly, and you know where he's going to be, right? I mean, there's not going to be a debate about we're not going to try to rate him along on the lead or let, you know, it just, he's going to wing it.
No, I mean, I think what he does really well is he's got an extremely high cruising speed and the ability to carry it. And you know, while he's great that he relaxed really nicely in the Woodward, probably isn't his most effective running style holding him up, because what he does is he puts horses into chase mode, and when they're trying to keep up and he's just cruising along, it takes away their late kick. So yeah, we're not looking to change his style, and like I said, I think hopefully the track at Keeneland plays to his strengths. And look, we know how good Flightline is and how tough he will be to beat, but you know, I think this, things go well, this will be kind of the first time that he's met a horse as fast as Life Is Good, and you know, has to chase a little bit.
Well, and that's exactly, Andy Serling was with us just before you joined us, and Andy was, you know, very pointed in explaining that to people, and that it's a very different scenario. There is one part of this that I do have to follow up and ask in regards to Woodward, because you actually, your Woodward winners, Todd, have been of a very similar ilk. Life Is Good, Liam's Map, Quality Road, and Lawyer Ron. And all of them were Vanguard runners, if not, you know, on the point, certainly, you know, certainly near, right on near the lead. Compare those four.
Well, I mean, the one thing that comes to mind is I would say they're certainly in four of the best and most talented horses that we've had. And, you know, people are always asking who's the best horse you ever trained. And, you know, I purposely avoid answering it. But to be honest with you, I don't 100% know. But I can tell you that all four of those on their best day were historically great horses and were capable of, you know, doing things that only the top 1% of the top 1% do. But same thing, they all had high cruising speeds and the ability to keep going. And ultimately that's what makes the best the best.
You know what's unbelievable about three of the four?
What's that?
They didn't start with you.
Yeah, true, yep. Now, we picked up all three of them after, or three of the four, obviously, Liam's Map we had for all of his starts. But, yeah, you're right.
And I got to tell you something. That is a really interesting little portion to take those horses and as good as they all were, because Lawyer Ron, Bob Holtis, right?
Correct.
And Jimmy with Quality Road and Bob Baffert with Life is Good. I mean, and granted they were getting older but it's amazing actually that there's that harmony with these Woodwards. Well, and pretty good, you know, pretty good harbingers, obviously. Liam's Map understood his direction, but Life is Good to the classic, adding a really exciting and fascinating dimension. Let's get a quick survey on the two-year-olds from the weekend. And what a nice win this is in the Frisette for the Rapoli team and Chocolate Gelato.
Yeah, terrific win. And you know, a filly that we thought a lot of all summer, were, I wouldn't say disappointed, but a little bit surprised she didn't win in her debut. Came back and trained great leading up to her second start and showed what we thought she had in that race. And then, so we've been kind of locked in on the Frisette since then. And same thing, you know, just you worry about the track conditions, how they're going to handle it. And I thought, she handled it really, really well and kind of settled back off the pace, which shows her versatility and handled the racetrack and the kickback and all those things that provide her the type of experience that should be helpful going into the Breeders' Cup.
Of course, you know, some good Frisette winners for you historically as well, Dreaming of Julia and Devil May Care and Adieu, the wonderful Adieu. Give us a read on Major Dude, who ran very well in the Pilgrim. And in fact, Andy and I were talking about the turf conditions. Might be a good experience because come next month, you know, could be plenty of give in the ground at Keeneland as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the weather could be a wild card there. You don't know. I mean, there's a chance we could get a beautiful day or could be cold and rainy and soggy turf course. So we like the way it handled the turf and the couple of breezes we got in before the Pilgrim, and that was on firmer ground. So we're confident that it'll handle that, but it's also good to know that he handled a course that had quite a bit of give to it. And, you know, I thought he held off a very good horse. And so it was exciting.
Well, you've won a bunch of Pilgrims. One of the winners, it wasn't on turf, but Escondorea won the Pilgrim, going back a horse that we should never have let leave the country as a stallion. Where are we with Forte for Saturday?
Plan to enter him in Lost Ark tomorrow in the Breeders' Futurity. He arrived safely at Keeneland, and they're both there, and hopefully get an out over the track and hopefully sets them up well for the Breeders' Cup.
Well, very nice. And since we're in that mode, we got about a minute for a little lightning round action. Let me see if there's anything we missed. Well, you got put up in the DQ in Philly. I was there for mind control, and he absolutely deserved to be put up. I don't think we talked about Kapensis winning the Virginia Derby, did we?
I don't recall if we did or not, but that was a great win for him, and you know, promising young horse with limited starts. So hopefully continues to develop into what could be a really, really good 4-year-old turf horse.
Outstanding. And where's Annapolis?
Annapolis has arrived as well, and we'll be entering him tomorrow in the Coolmore Mile on the turf.
Well, you're not allowed to beat Lee and Casa Creed.
No. I actually spoke to Lee yesterday, and we agreed that we hoped that it was a good battle. And he's a great guy, and if we can't win, I'd be happy for him if he does.
What else you got for Keeneland Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
We entered Kaling today in the Alcibiades. And he's coming off a third in the spinaway. Then the two colts that we talked about in the Breeders' Futurity, Annapolis and the Coolmore Mile, and then on Sunday, Malathat for the spinster.
Excellent. All right. Well, there it is. So there's a good chance you're back next Tuesday in the Todd Pletcher segment.
Let's hope, maybe, and we'll see if you can figure out what my middle name is by then.
Wait. Are you going to tell us, or do I have to go look for it?
I'll let you do some research, and we'll talk next time.
Todd Pletcher.
But it's
everybody.
Not Aaron, I can tell you that.
It's not Aaron? It's Aaron. Not. It kind of rolls off the tongue. All right, I'm going to start digging in. I'm going to hit the Wikipedia.
All right, good
Todd
luck.
Fletcher. Thanks, Todd. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Todd. Too fun. Todd Fletcher, everybody, and we started the morning with Todd Fincher. We got a pair of Todds, and I don't know Todd Fincher's middle name either. Todd Fincher, Dick Powell, Sid Fernando, Alan Foreman, Andy Serling, and Todd Pletcher. Best of tomorrow, everybody. Happy, healthy new year. Talk to you Thursday.
Let the summertime song. Fall on the apple. There they go.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically?